Forgive the interruption, but I believe this requires your attention.
Meanwhile, at the above-ground underwater suborbital volcano lair...
This is urgent. We need a response team.
We're already putting together the best men. With all due respect, sir, so am I.
I have a plan. It's a good plan. It's real!
Mighty Marvel Geeks.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
Team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos. We're a time bomb.
Well then, son, you've got a condition.
Your show about all things Marvel with Mike, Kylan, and Eric.
What a bunch of losers. I am Groot.
That I did know.
These people may be isolated, unbalanced even, but I believe with the right push, they can be exactly what we need.
Suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
And welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It is your host, Mike. Joining me, as always, is Kylan and Eric.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Yo.
Good.
And I must admit, it seems like every Thursday we've been going to the Florida Mall here in town, taking my daughter to the Disney store so she could get her summer play day buttons for the week. And go to the Crayola Experience. And they've got this thing where they've got four colors. Purple, red, blue, and green. And you can name them. I already have a red one named Mighty Marvel Geeks. And today I named a green one Hulkalicious.
Hulkalicious! Even better.
Like it. Love it.
Next time it's going to be a red one called Iron Manly.
I like it.
That's good.
So purple, I haven't figured out yet. It's gonna be
Kilgrave.
Kilgrave.
Yes, from Jessica
Purple
Jones.
Man. Purple
yes.
Man.
The Purple Man. Yeah.
Well, no, I was gonna do him Avenger Crayons. I just.
Oh, so you want Hawkeye?
Yeah.
I just can't Hawkeye Grape.
I like Hawkeye Grape.
Or the Barton Plum.
Well, that's possible.
The pun's not bad enough for that.
No.
We'll have to work on that one.
I was thinking maybe the Purple Archer.
Mm-hmm.
But
that could work, yeah.
Or the Grape Archer.
Grape Eye. That sounds like a cartoon character.
Grape Ape. Yes, I went there.
Yes, you went there.
Blue.
We're telling our age now.
Yes, we are.
Unfortunately, the blues are going to be the same color because they only have one blue. Mm-hmm. It's like a Pacific blue. So I'm like, okay, do I do Thor or do I do Cap?
Do S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's a possibility.
Furies Blues.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that works. But, so today, though, we were at the Disney store. And I walked in, and I see the Disney store cast member wearing a white lab coat. I'm like, okay. And on it has Avengers Labs.
I'm like, Avengers Labs.
Avengers Labs. Well, I talked them into a lanyard. Actually, we got three lanyards.
Oh,
I got one for my daughter.
The Koenig brothers are going to love you for this.
Yes.
You're going to need a lanyard.
I got one for my daughter, one for me, and one for her friend.
Oh, you're the coolest dad ever now.
And then they handed us these packets that says Avengers Labs Top Secret. Inside of it is this letter from the Avengers Labs team teasing Playmation.
Oh.
In it is a comic book talking about start creating Playmation.
So what I'm hearing is that you went to the Disney store for the purposes of your daughter with a Playmate, but this actually wound up being a playdate for Mike.
That's certainly what it sounds like to me.
I mean, yeah. And to be honest, I've totally done that. You know, with the unaltered clone, we'll walk into a store, and you know, the intention as we walk in is, well, this is going to be something for him. We're looking for something for him.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it's kind of like, well, I guess it's like when we go Nerf gun shopping, because he had graduation money that he wanted to use. It's burning a hole in the pocket. Go to Toys R Us, and we just happened to be there on a day that they're offering like 20% off all Nerf guns.
Oh, no.
So he finds this one that he really wants and goes, Dad, you need to get one.
It's a sickness.
Never mind the fact that our Nerf collection already looks like something out of Fury's toy box.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Figures, my daughter, you know, we looked at this package. Oh, that's where I put it.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what's happening with me. Oh, my God. It's top secret. That thing looks official.
And again, here's the letter. And the letter states,
that's
confidential, recruit. If you're reading this, then you have discovered an undercover outpost of Avengers Lab.
Oh,
and yet we get the above ground underwater suborbital volcano lab or volcano base.
Layer.
Still.
There's a difference.
What?
There's a subtle yet crucial difference between lab, base, and layer.
Yeah.
And we get Jarvis.
True. Oh, Jarvis is attached to this as well.
Really?
The Avengers need you. Ultron's set to destroy all life on Earth, and the Avengers can't stop them alone. Tony Stark and Dr. Bruce Banner created gear that helps unlock your superhero strength. With this powerful gear, you'll be able to join the fight. The battle begins October 4th. Your first assignment? With the help of a grown-up, find out how you can continue your training at disneystore.com/Playmation. Thank you for standing with the Avengers. It will be an honor to battle alongside you, the Avengers Labs team.
I'm hooked. And I'm not like, really? Oh, I couldn't imagine being a kid and getting that.
And here's the book.
Ooh. Who is the artist for that?
Going across the top, it's Sumerak Brizuela, Brizuela.
Uh-huh.
And Soto Color.
I was kind of hoping Scott Johnson would be among those people.
Artist Dario Brizuela. Mm. Letterer is VC's Joe Sabino. Mm. But yeah, I mean, this is like it picks up after Age of Ultron to some extent.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I have gone to that website.
Oh.
Oh, my freaking goodness.
Yeah, forget Disney Affinity.
I will not forget Disney Infinity. Not with the Star Wars tie-ins, but this is still going to be awesome looking.
Well, we signed up, or my daughter and her friend, and my wife and his mom. My wife and his mom are going to Florida Mall Disney Store for a...
Your wife and his mom.
For a 30-minute Playmation orientation. They do this 4 times a day. On Saturday and Sundays for 30 minutes, and it's restricted to 4 people. And I got them reservations. So in 2 weeks, well, they go August 2nd. So the first show after the 2nd, I will have a review of the orientation of Playmation.
Awesome.
Booyah.
Now, I actually got to wear the gauntlet today.
Oh.
Yes.
This thing is amazing. The palm has got a trigger on it to launch it. There's another thing. If you bring your wrist up, you can hear it charge, and you push forward, it acts like a launch.
Wait, hold on. Are you telling me that this is like Stark's, like Iron Man gauntlet? I'm hearing
yes.
Stark's.
Yeah,
yes.
It's like a repulsor in hand. It's not a full glove. It's literally what we saw in that video when we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. The top part has this triangle piece where she goes, if you press and hold it, it'll charge up the missiles, and you let go, and it'll fire the missiles. And it's just a sound. And, of course, there's, you know, the infrared, laser, whatever, that it interacts with. I'm like, well, okay, what's the knob here for? She goes, you push it, it activates the armory. And then you
the armory.
Then you turn the knob to select what you want. Like, there was one, it was like a genetic scrambler.
Oh.
And when I switched to it and then pushed and held down, the repulsor part in the palm started shaking. I'm like, no way. This is going to be $119 to purchase. But you pre-order now through the Disney Store, you get an extra power figure. You get Red Skull because it comes with Captain America. There are other figures. There's Hulk, Falcon, Black Widow, MODOK.
Oh my gosh,
MODOK,
Ultron, Iron Man, and of course, this is all going to tie into an app. When you buy the game, you actually get a name card to go on this on your lanyard. Well, apparently in this packet, it also comes in there too. And this name card's not.
Oh my word!
That's foil there in the bottom.
Foil. Oh, yeah. It's not just paper. It's not just stamped. Like
no, it's
plastic.
Not.
It's like, and it's a heavy duty.
It's yeah, a heavy it, duty shiny it, stock. Whatever it is,
it's like a matte gloss business card.
It is.
And here's the back.
Is that
a barcode and magnetic strip looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's just a black paint, but it's to look like a barcode and mag strip. So on here, you put your name, your alias, and your superhero power on the front. And on your back, it's your signature. It's like an Avengers fan club card, essentially.
Okay, Mike. What's your superpower?
The power of gab. Maybe not.
Okay.
Come on.
No, I would almost go similar to Hawkeye, you know, because I love archery, and that would be my kind of thing, so.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Now, Ultimate Hawkeye, he's human, but he supposedly has more rods in his eyes than the typical human, which explains why he's able to be so accurate, whereas in 616... he just trains all the time. So, which one will you go with?
Well, considering my alias is Eagle Eye, I had actual eagle eyes transplanted into my head. So,
I like
makes,
it.
Makes it easier.
It does.
No side effects except that one habit where you go out and get dinner by snatching fish out of the lake.
No, it's something about picking up small little dogs.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, unfortunately, they didn't have, they have a little demo area or display area where you could interact with this. And they said it wasn't set up, wasn't working. I'm like, oh my Lord, this was fun. It's like, I just want to wear this around the shop, go up to people and go with the Iron Man blast and just.
I want.
I could easily see how to turn this into almost a Tony Stark type costume. Yeah. And all you got to do is just come up with the rest of the glove to surround the missing parts.
Yes.
Or the fabric to make it look like a gauntlet.
Yeah.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I am looking at this website.
The only downfall is the repulsor does not light up in the palm.
Mm. Oh!
I am looking forward to seeing the Gamma Gear.
Yeah.
The website just says coming soon.
Yeah. Now, here's the other fun part. They're going to be doing this for Star Wars as well.
Oh.
I'm hoping they introduce this at D23.
I think we need to do some talking about D23.
Yeah, we probably need to go ahead and jump. Let's go ahead and jump to the D23, because at this point in time... I looked it up. There's no Disney stores in Alabama doing these demos because it doesn't matter how old. You just got to be six or older.
You know why they're not doing any in Alabama? There are no Disney stores in Alabama anymore.
Well, that stinks.
There was one at my local mall and loved going there. Got to know a lot of the cast members. And, we'd be in there at least once a week. And... just all of a sudden, well, the Disney store went through the phase where it was owned by the Children's Place, and then it came back to Disney, and just our store, hopefully it was just our store doing this and not like all of them nationwide. It's just the merchandise just kind of went downhill.
Yeah, that's when it was on with the children's place. It just took a major dive.
Yeah.
Actually, that happened to the Disney store that was close to me. Because I used to go, because my wife's a huge Disney fan. No birthday, Christmas, whatever. And I noticed that at one point, like the merchandise, the quality of the merchandise started, going down. I was like, well, maybe no stuff just hasn't been shipped in. And next thing I know, I started hearing rumors that all the Disney stores in Ohio were closing. And I'm like, huh? And yeah, gone. So I don't believe it. I don't think there's any Disney stores in Ohio either.
There is Cincinnati. You can sign up for orientation in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's like, what, 4.5 hours away?
Start driving now.
Okay. You know what? I got friends down there. And I'm pretty sure I...
But first you got to go to the website and sign up. Create an account, and then you got to sign up for the event. It's, I wish I was off so I could be there.
Oh.
That's all I got to say. I wish I was off so I could be there. This is one of those times I hate working Saturdays. Because I want to be there so bad.
Oh, it looks like, it seems like it would be a blast. I would.
Well, we'll get the full report in a couple weeks.
I can't wait.
So, I guess, while we got some time, let's do Ant-Man.
Okay. So,
Kylan said he went to see it on Thursday.
Okay. Yep. Give us your review, your impressions from watching Ant-Man.
Okay. I'll put to you like this, and this is pretty much true for any Marvel movie that I see, but I walked out of that theater, and had I not... Well, we were planning on recording later that night, the Marvel Mighty Marvel Geek Show. I was going to turn around, go back, and watch it a second time. It was that good to me. It's a different kind of Marvel movie. It's not your typical origin story. By the time you're sitting in the middle of what's going on, the Ant-Man suit has already been created. It's been in use. But what you're seeing is more or less a great character study. And this is I would say this movie is probably the more, for lack of a better descriptor, grown up version, a more grown up Marvel movie, because you're looking at characters who are, one person who is going on more or less the hero's journey, and the other one who has been there but is learning to grow to be, because Scott Lang, who becomes Ant-Man, has a daughter, and his relationship with his daughter is very important to him. That you have Hank, and Hank has a estranged relationship with his daughter Hope. Okay. And so you kind of see parallels between Hank and Hope trying to rebuild their relationship, and Scott, who has just gotten out of prison, trying to reconnect with his daughter. The thing is, you got half of the movie where there's this a bit of setup and a little bit of backstory. But it's not your traditional origin story. The action doesn't really kick in until the middle of the movie, but that's okay. It's definitely the more science-y of the Marvel movies. Because, like, if you look at Iron Man is kind of science-y, but it's more about technology. Whereas Ant-Man, you're getting more into biology, and there's this great little tutorial about what this ant does, and how you need to learn how to get them all work together. There's humor. There's, a little bit of, some more dramatic aspects. It's a very well-balanced story. Great characters, great plot. I loved it, and I really, honestly, if I had the time, I would have seen it 3 times by this point. I'm serious. It's just that good.
Okay.
And I know we were talking earlier. There's that one article we were talking about where I guess there's somebody that felt that the legacy of Wasp was that Ant-Man failed the legacy of Wasp.
Yeah.
Okay, and I will say spoiler alert, because what I'm about to say, basically, it's going to talk about...
Spoiler alert.
Thanks. So there's what I'm about to talk about is a key point to something else that happens later in the movie. You see Janet Van Dyne, but you see her in the Wasp suit, okay? Now, there's a part earlier in the movie where Scott is tinkering with the Ant-Man suit because you know he's an engineer. But then Hank says don't, because if you mess with the actuator, you'll go subatomic. And if you go subatomic, you won't come back. You won't be able to come back to reality as you know it. You'll just be forever gone, because he starts talking about all these things that happen. And he's like, well, how you know this? And he doesn't really say it. But then eventually he kind of goes into what happened. Well, what it is that you see Janet and Hank on this mission for S.H.I.E.L.D. And there's a missile. And Janet has to – well, someone has to go smaller than the size that they are so they can get inside the missile and disarm it. Well – she pushes Hank away. She goes subatomic, goes in, disarms a missile. Missile goes in the ocean, and that's it. Now, Hank assumes that she's dead. And it seems like that whoever wrote this article, I guess she felt like that you didn't really get much of Janet or the legacy of Wasp or whatever. But here's the thing. Later on in the movie, Scott ends up going subatomic. So when Scott goes subatomic, the movie gets kind of trippy because, you know, reality does all of a sudden become relative. And there's a lot of, you know, there's voices that he's hearing and there's this shadow and that sort of thing. And he ends up coming back, which surprises Hank. Because Hank believed that once you went subatomic, that was it. You there was no coming back from that. So
you go from Ant-Man to Particle Man.
Yeah.
Doing the things a particle can.
Spin up see, that's the reason why I got a B in biology.
what's he like? It's not important.
Yeah. So once he comes back, Hank is surprised at this because he didn't think that it was possible. And Hank is about to, it seems like he's about to say, well, if that's possible, then, and he just kind of lets it go. To me, I took it to mean that they were left unsaid is that maybe Janet isn't dead, you know, because, you know, once you go subatomic, you know, reality gets, you know, bendy. So, but then later at the end of the movie, you do see an updated version of the Wasp suit that he looks at his daughter and says, we need to finish this. And the Wasp suit looks just like what Janet wore in the ultimate version of the Wasp suit. So it's not like that there's not a Wasp, present. There is. And I think I felt like that there's a setup for either one, we're going to see Hope as Wasp, or two, there's going to be a quest to rescue Janet, or three, we're going to see both of them. I don't know.
Well, I guess the question is, how did it do at the box office? Because that could decide whether we get a second film.
Well, if that's the case, then it's not really starting off too good for Ant-Man because, I say that, but it opened up to the tune of $58
million.
It won the weekend, okay? It's number one in the box office, but any other franchise, any other movie studio they start off with a $58 million opening weekend for a movie. They're doing cartwheels. With Marvel, though, it is the second lowest opening weekend since, you know, the $55 million debut of The Incredible Hulk back in 2008. So, basically, the smallest character has the smallest opening of all the MCU. Mm. Or the second smallest.
But, you know, considering he's a D-list character, considering he's not a household name, 58 mil is amazing.
58 million is nothing to sneeze at. And one thing to remember, this is a movie that has been... It has been snake bit all through the production.
Yep.
First of all, it's been in production longer than the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it had, you know, Edgar Wright and Marvel parted ways. Some of the cast parted ways.
Well, I had heard rumor that Howard Stern was trying to buy the rights to Ant-Man.
Really?
Way back when.
Yeah. But another thing to keep in mind here, that yes, he is a D-lister. This is the first solo hero origin movie since Captain America.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
I mean,
true.
What's the only other origin movie that's come out, and that was Guardians of the Galaxy? That was a group one.
Right? Iron Man. First Iron Man.
No, I'm saying since Captain America.
Yeah, because didn't Incredible Hulk... Was the Incredible Hulk was really even an origin story?
Yeah, no, it was...
Hulk was the origin.
Yeah, right. And then the Incredible Hulk, which, you know, 2008. But also, this movie, all in all, was one of the cheapest ones that Marvel have made.
Mm-hmm.
So... Is it going to cover the same ground financially as Avengers? Heck no. Is it going to do the same as Guardians? No. Is it going to do as well as Winter Soldier? No. But it doesn't have to.
Right. No.
And I've heard it said that this is the first, it's the closest thing to a comedy that Marvel has put out.
See that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of people were given pause because of Paul Rudd, but yet again, I will say, because I was the guy that had big question marks over RDJ as Tony Stark, Paul Rudd is spot on as Scott Lang.
I've heard a criticism about Paul Rudd because in that he's playing the same character in every movie. He's basically playing Paul Rudd, which... In all fairness, is pretty much the exact same thing that Chris Pratt does.
Yeah.
But these two guys are not alone in this. You could go all the way back through the history of Hollywood and find actors and actresses who essentially played the exact same character over and over again. I got two words for you. John Wayne.
Yep.
And that's the man who turned down Gunsmoke because he didn't want to be typecast as a cowboy.
And he also turned down the role of the Waco kid in Blazing Saddles because he told Mel Brooks it would ruin his career if he played it, but he will be first in line to go see it.
Yeah,
because he thought the movie was funny as all get out.
Right. Well, on that note, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Mighty Marvel Geeks here with Eric, Kylan, and Mike.
Hi, Geeksters. I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And we're Geek Watch 1. Are you interested in TV,
movies,
comics,
games,
and conventions? Everything from Trek
to Wars,
Marvel
to DC,
D&D
to WoW,
Whovians
to the Hulksters,
then your search is over.
We are the geeks you're looking for.
Geek Watch 1 is available at kylanandken.podbean.com.
You can also listen, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and Stitcher. Just look for Geek Watch 1.
And you can interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Kylan and Ken.
And remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks with Mike, Eric, and Kylan. Or Kylan, Eric, and Mike. Or Eric. Yep.
Now, which Kylan. One am I again?
You're not Mike.
Then I'm Kylan.
Is that? Well, then if you're Kylan and I'm Mike?
No, you're Channing Tatum.
No, I'm not. I am. Ooh! Just. He will not ever. Well, you know. In fact, I'll take care of this now, Jarvis. I would like to set a special protocol that if the person who can be identified as Channing Tatum steps foot in the above ground underwater suborbital volcanic layer, that you will fire a laser that is so hot that it burns with the fury of 1,000 suns. Please.
Unfortunately, we cannot ignore the inevitable.
Really? 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 Alma.
Meanwhile, in a small corner of the city, in the home of real bad pain...
I cannot talk about him. I cannot.
Well, speaking of Channing Tatum, thankfully... The next story I've got doesn't pertain to any of the Fox licenses. It's just the Marvel Studios stuff. And that is, Phase 2's done. Where do we go? And obviously, it's not with Channing Tatum.
God. Oh, I'm so glad. So glad.
But don't mince words, Kylan. How do you really feel?
Hey, he had the best Marvel role. Stan Lee's personal stare escort.
See, I
will say this.
Where I come from, we have a phrase for that. Them's fighting words, you bucktooth varmint.
Yes.
Well, here's my opinion. I honestly feel the younger guy on NCIS New Orleans would be a better gambit than Channing Tatum.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
So.
So
anyhow, Marvel Studios Phase 2, done. It's over. Phase 3 doesn't start until May of 2016 with Civil War. But where does the Marvel character stand? Well, Iron Man appears next in Civil War. And, of course, Cap appears next in Civil War. And apparently now we could say with the Sony Marvel business venture, Spider-Man appears in Civil War and is now a part of the MCU. Now, they talk about, there's a story over on io9.com where we got this from. They say Tony Stark is pretty messed up after Age of Ultron. Really? Really? He's still footing the bill because S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not doing it. So
this is where we tie back into his comments of I have privatized world peace.
Yes. So, you know, we see him leave Cap with the new recruits who I still want a West Coast Avengers movie.
You practically Please. Have it at the end of this movie.
Or just call them the New Avengers and do that. Just don't go with the New Avengers comic title. That kind of stunk. But yes. Again, Captain America, we see him next in Captain America Civil War. He's the new leader of the Avengers since Tony's gone. And it still feels bitter with what Tony did with Ultron. But, you know, is that the proud guy for look what the team did accomplish, though, to defeat an almost impossible enemy. So, Hulk.
MIA.
Well, after forming a bond with Black Widow, or has he? Going into phase three, we don't know where he's going. Rumored to be a part of Captain America Civil War. Now, they're saying Hulk. They're not saying anything about Dr. Banner.
I think it's more likely that you will see Dr. Banner in Civil War than you will Hulk.
I would say, if anything, if we don't see him in Civil War, we see Banner in Doctor Strange.
Ooh, I like that idea. I like that idea.
Now, the thing is, Banner is a fugitive right now, though, isn't he? Because of all the stuff that happened in Wakanda? Or was that South Africa?
No, that was Wakanda, I think.
Yeah.
I think so. So, yeah, but I don't see him making an appearance in Black Panther, though.
No, I don't either.
No.
Shield, Agents of Shield, though, maybe? That could be fun every now and then.
Agents of Shield needs some more Avengers firepower.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they're going on their own way, but still.
So Thor, Thor helped his fellow Avengers defeat Ultron, but he was preoccupied. He had some visions and realized the Avengers and Ultron were just pawns of a much larger game. Does this game have to do with the Infinity Gems?
I'm thinking you bet your butt.
Quite possibly. I would love to see the deleted scenes or an extended version of a director's cut of Avengers Age of Ultron would be nice.
Yeah, I've heard that's not happening, though.
That's so stupid. Because the pool scene would be so much...
Yeah.
The woman would... next appearance for Thor. Thor Ragnarok. Maybe sooner. Loki. Of course, he was pretty much phased out. He was the bad guy in phase one. For a good chunk of phase two. But you know, we're really not seeing him until Thor Ragnarok. Guardians. We're gonna,
the surprise hit of phase two.
Yes. We'll find out who the mystery. We'll know that the mystery of Peter Quill's father is going to be a big thing coming up, and
also
unfinished business with Thanos. Their next appearance: Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. Black Widow. Of course, she's dealing with her own demons after falling in love and then losing it. Her next appearance is pretty much going to be in... she's helping Cap run the new team of Avengers. Her next appearance is going to be in Civil War as well.
Okay, so question about Black Widow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did either one of y'all see... what you saw the scene in India in the first Avengers movie between Dr. Banner and Black Widow. Did either one of y'all get an inkling that there would be a romance blossom out of that?
No.
Yeah, a little bit.
You did?
Especially with the comment of, why they send you. Or there's that whole initial, why you? Because he knew who she was.
Right.
It's like they met before. And there was...
All right. Yeah, at the time, I didn't see it. But looking back at it now, you could kind of see a little simmer there.
Yeah, but I don't even think they would have known then that was going to potentially be the way it was going to go.
No.
So, because they were still giving us the illusion that it was going to be her and Hawkeye or her and Cap.
Yeah.
So, Vision, of course, now he's the keeper of the only Infinity Gem on Earth. His next appearance is going to be Civil War as well.
Most of these people are going to be in Civil War.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Loki's not going to be in it. The Guardians of the Galaxy's not going to be in it.
But just to go through the rest, Hawkeye, Falcon, which Falcon's costume almost looks like Captain America, the Falcon cap that they have in the comics now.
It does kind of have that look, yeah.
They did update because he's in Ant-Man and he does have an updated costume that is slightly different from when you last saw him in Age of Ultron, actually.
But it's still not the red and white.
This one was.
Well, there you go.
In Ant-Man, Ant-Man was red and white.
So I'm thinking Stark's been playing. Yeah, with an outfit.
Oh well, there were some added buildings to the Avengers compound also in Ant-Man 2.
Okay, and of course, Hawkeye, Falcon, Scarlet Witch, and War Machine are all in Captain America Civil War. Ant-Man, also in Captain America Civil War. Thanos, Infinity War, Winter Soldier in Civil War, Fury, Unknown, Black Panther, Civil War, The Wasp, possibly Infinity War Part 1, Doctor Strange in his own film, and Spider-Man in Civil War. So that's it. That's what we potentially have to look forward to.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's a good time to be a Marvel fan.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. So, Ryan Reynolds has some great news, or great opinion, actually.
Yeah. Well, he is a huge cheerleader for all things Deadpool. And so according to the story that was on moviepilot.com, he was talking about how he would love to see a Deadpool and Cable movie. Because, there's a popular, very popular Marvel series of Cable and Deadpool, which to me is the most insane team up ever. But they work. It's sort of like, I don't know, Murtaugh and Riggs.
Yeah, that's a good analogy right there.
Yeah, so... and so he was, in this interview, they were asking Ryan Reynolds and, one of his co-stars, I'm trying to find it, TJ Miller, which comic book characters would they like to work with? And so Ryan Reynolds went right to Cable because I believe this guy sleeps and breathes Deadpool. Miller, on the other hand, I think he felt a little bit out of his element because the first one he went to was Spawn, and then the second one was Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Those were his two picks there, but apparently, I guess they're looking at doing an X-Force movie. So if there's going to be an X-Force movie, then we should be seeing Cable on the big screen as well.
Right.
And so that's what he would like to see. And if the movie people are listening and if they like to see their pocketbooks get fatter, I think they will pay attention.
This is true. So, but we're talking Fox. So look how long
we're talking Fox. So they're going to screw that up.
Because apparently that's what they do. I don't know if that's in their playbook, but yeah.
Well, especially since they're expecting to be holding on to the Fantastic Flop franchise, so they could do a planned Fantastic Flop X-Men crossover.
That hasn't even happened in the comics, so why is that even going to happen in a movie? Those two teams have nothing to do with each other, not really. No, they don't.
Because they don't have the Avengers. They can't do AVX, so...
Mm.
Bendis has some great thoughts.
On a slightly more positive note, there's no doubt that Daredevil has been wildly successful on Netflix, and of course, we figured it would because you can go darker on Netflix than you can, like say, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC, or really with movies because. You really don't want to get like an R-rated Marvel movie for the most part. But
except for Deadpool, but that's not MCU.
That's not MCU.
Blade could be acceptable.
Blade could be acceptable. Punisher could be acceptable. Moon Knight could be acceptable. But with the Street Defenders collection that they announced for Netflix, Daredevil, obviously very, very popular, very successful first foray. And, it didn't take them long to say, hey, we're coming out with a second season of it. But the next offering coming down the pike is Jessica Jones. And it started off with AKA as part of the title, AKA Jessica Jones. And that's mainly because she is the central character of a series called Alias, which has nothing to do with the TV show of the same name.
No.
But basically what Jessica Jones, if you haven't been listening to this show, you have been listening to us since I know since I've been here, then Jessica Jones is a former superhero that she had a very traumatic experience with it, and she has tried to put her superhero past behind her.
Right.
And work as a private eye. And, well, it just her superhero past keeps catching up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Michael Bendis is the co-creator of Jessica Jones. And recently he took fan questions on his Tumblr account and was asked what he thought about Jessica Jones. And, well, he says, quote, "The show is so good. I have seen the first couple of episodes, and because I didn't work on it directly, I can say this with full no ego fanfare. I loved it." And he said, "You know, believe me, I was going to be the hardest on it, harder than any of you. Jessica is a part of my DNA. A bad Jessica Jones show would have hurt me deeply. But it is faithful and lively and entertaining that I could personally have wanted from the show. The mean streets of Marvel Netflix from a different perspective than Matt's, but at the same time, it all fits. Hey, Bendis, it's all connected. # It says, just like the comics on their best day and just like Netflix, Daredevil, the look of the show is Kraken Noir, but with its own palette. So, yeah, I mean, this is – you're doing the darker, grittier tone that, you know, Warner Brothers thinks every DC movie should have. But Marvel realizes, hey, not all characters work with that.
No.
These characters, they work with that. And it's more intimate because you're not focusing on saving the world. You're focusing on saving a neighborhood. A block, you know, a building, that sort of thing. Yes. And that doesn't make the action or the stories any less intense.
No.
It's just the scale. He goes on to say that Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones is, quote, so good. And he also, this is what took me by surprise. He said about Michael Coulter as Luke Cage, who is going to start off in Jessica Jones and then get his own series. He says the casting, quote, is as strong and as spot on as the casting of Tony Stark.
You know what?
Let that sit in for a moment.
That, ooh.
I think if ever the two greatest casting decisions in Marvel history. One of them is Chris Evans as Captain America.
Yes.
I think we can agree on that.
Yes.
The other would have to be Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if you're saying that the casting of Luke Cage is every bit as good, that's giving me freaking goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, now this was I think it may have been the first Marvel Max series to come out back in early mid-2000s. And I picked this series up when it first came out, and I was, you know, curious about it, you know, because Marvel's like, you know, we don't need no stinking, you know, comics code. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to rate this. The story, it's noir, it's gritty, but it is so good, and I will tell you that this was the story that made me rediscover Luke Cage. Huh? This was a story that made me rediscover Luke Cage because prior to, I was like, you know, he's okay, whatever. And now I am such a Luke Cage fan because of this story.
And you know, seriously. He's also been an Avenger in the comics.
Yeah.
So, you know, you keep this going, you can see these guys show up.
Right.
And you should be able to read this in Marvel Unlimited.
That's true.
And, you know, because of that, I think I'm going to go ahead with officially announcing we're going to highlight either a Marvel Unlimited series on Marvel Unlimited or a issue that's on Marvel Unlimited for each week. And I'm going to start it off with the classic.
Led Zeppelin? Oh, sorry. Wrong classics.
From the 1977 Star Wars line, the Star Wars title. Issue number 8 for Aduba 3. And here's the summary. Han Solo and Chewbacca are hired by Ramiz, a moisture farmer on Aduba 3, to protect his village from a band of local thugs known as the Cloud Raiders, or Cloud Riders, led by Sergi X. Argantus. Han and Chewbacca hire 6 misfit spacers to help them with their task, including Don Juan Quixote, No joke. An old man who thinks he's a Jedi Knight. And as Eric's about to facepalm, Jackson, a rabbit-like creature with a mean disposition. Sergi X tries to convince Han to forget about his mission and protect the peasants and even offers some compensation, but Han declines. Meanwhile, on Yavin 4, Luke, C-3PO, and R2-D2 leave in a scout ship to search for a new location for the Rebel base.
I used to collect the Star Wars series that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. There is one storyline that I remember. It's they're on a water world. No land masses. Yes. You know what it is. And these are pirates that still live. I mean, it's like they're descendants of pirates that splash landed on this world.
Yes.
And so it felt like Waterworld.
Yeah.
Because the descendants of the pirates still lived there, and they had this giant, it almost looked like an ancient sailing ship, but under the water line was the remnants of the ship that they crashed down in. And so what they did is like they had like, well, it's not like a tractor beam. Well, actually it was a tractor beam. And they would, any ship that was coming into the system, they would latch on to it, splash it down in the ocean, and then strip it. Okay. And that had one of my favorite characters from this, the pirate Crimson Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
He and his band had taken over an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Oh.
And that's what they were tooling around space in.
Yeah.
And when we had Star Wars writer Jason Aaron on the show, I asked him, this was totally off air, I said, please, from a Star Wars comic fan, bring him back.
Yeah.
That was just so totally, I want to see this guy back. I want to see him updated and modernized.
Oh, yeah. Well, considering we're running low on time, let's quickly get to our picks for the week.
Yes.
So this will be new comic book picks for July 29th, 2015. Kylan, why don't you start first?
Okay. I have, surprise, surprise, Deadpool Secret Wars. I believe that is number 3. Hold on. Trying to get to come up. Yes. Okay. Deadpool Secret Wars. Number 3, the writer is Cullen Bunn. The cover artist is Tony Harris. The war that's so secret, the rest of the Marvel Universe doesn't even remember it. Amid the chaos, Deadpool dons a new costume. Plus, our heroes stage a huge attack on the gluttonous ... And it's not giving me the rest of it. Oh, the gluttonous Galactus. A gluttonous Galactus?
Yeah, that's kind of being redundant there, but that's okay.
That's that cloud in Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Mm. Oh, you know what? I was like, I was waiting for Galactus, and I'm like, that's not Galactus.
No.
No. But yeah, and actually now I'm glad to know that this book is finally coming out, because for the past 2 weeks, the question has been when this Deadpool Secret Wars number 3 comes out. Now I have the answer.
Cool. So, Eric, your first pick.
My first pick is Thor's number 2, written by the aforementioned Jason Aaron and cover artist Chris Sprouse. The saga of the Battleworld Police Force continues. More murders, more mystery, and more Thors. Like, wait for it, Groot Thor. And maybe even a break in the case as a surprising suspect is brought in for questioning. I'm recommending this for two reasons. Jason Aaron.
Ant Bros.
And Groot Thor.
No Ant Bros?
No Ant Bros. Jason Aaron and Groot Thor. Those are my reasonings for picking that.
Well, my first pick of the week is Hail Hydra number 2. Can Ian Rogers, Nomad, survive a land ruled by Hydra? Can he survive the rage of Eddie Brock, prime assassin to the regime? The secrets within Nomad's head are priceless, holding the key to Hydra's future, and someone's going to crack him open and dig them out.
Hail Hydra!
Hail Hydra!
So that's my second pick. Our first pick. So let's move on to our second picks.
Mine is Daredevil, number 17. The writer is Mark Wade. The cover artist is Chris Samnee. It all comes down to this, the penultimate chapter, because that's one of those words that you just don't use every day. Matt Murdock's using words like that. Matt Murdock made a deal with his own personal devil, and unless he can outsmart the strongest, toughest opponent he's ever known, no one walks out alive. So this is Daredevil. I love Daredevil. This is the reason why I'm pulling it.
Cool. How about you, Eric? Number two.
Okay, my second pick is from a title that that I have been reading and I am actually enjoying quite a bit. S.H.I.E.L.D. number 8, written also by Mark Wade, where has Agent May and Mockingbird together against a band of superpowered monstrosities whose souls must be found and returned to them if S.H.I.E.L.D. is to survive.
Okay. Well, my number two pick, if it comes as no surprise, is... Ooh. It's Howard the Duck number 5. While the world's greatest superheroes fight to save New York City and possibly America and parts of Canada, Howard and Tara Tam learn a lot about each other and themselves. Communication is key in life. Be inquisitive about the people you surround yourself with. And this one is a tie-in back to Howard the Duck number 4. So... I've been digging this series, and like what Chip Zdarsky is doing with it. So, so yeah, there's my second pick, number 3 for everyone.
Black Widow number 20. The writer is Phil Noto, and the cover artist is Phil Noto, who is the Black Widow. What set off her long path of atonement? The creative team that brought you the longest run in Black Widow history steps deeper into the psyche of Natasha Romanoff than ever before. You know, and I didn't realize that that's true. This is the, you know, most of the Black Widow series, you know, usually end around 12. I'm enjoying this, and I'm liking what they're doing with the characters. Really good.
Mm-hmm. Your last pick, Eric.
Okay, my last pick is Deathlok number 10. Written by Nathan Edmondson and cover artist Mike Perkins. Out of control and out of time, Henry Hayes faces S.H.I.E.L.D., Biotech, and another Deathlok. What options does he have but to die?
See, this week there was a lot of books that I could have gone with.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Deathlok, S.H.I.E.L.D., the Black Widow. I mean, that's all stuff I've picked up in the past, mm-hmm. or have picked in the past. But, of course, you know, with Howard and, you know, the Hydra book, I figured, you know, continue on with it, you know, keep it going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was... But I had to do it because this one really has my interest. It's on my pull list. It's Star Wars number 7, and it's a one-off of Ben Kenobi. Injustice reigns on Tatooine as villainous scum run rampant. Will Ben risk revealing himself to do what's right? And this has got guest artist Simone Bianchi doing the art. So. Yeah, so for them to wrap a story arc with a cliffhanger and then throw in a one-off about Ben, I'm kind of excited about this.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see what they do. So so that's going to wrap it up for us this week. Any final thoughts from anyone?
Nothing here.
No, nothing here.
Then, Jarvis, if you would, please.
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nope, just time to go dark.